You're listening to the Iterators of the Imperium.
Hi, I'm Mess, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, Ryan, and you're listening to Season Quinqui of the Iterators of the Imperium podcast, the podcast in which Ryan is the expert on Warhammer 40k, and I am the noob or intermediate trying to learn about the Warhammer universe. And in this season, we are still talking about orcs. And it's been a while since the last episode, Ryan. Would you care to quickly recap what has happened up until now, or at least in the last episode, so where we're going to be going today?
So I'll do that quite happily for you. So last time we covered a few more of the kind of, I guess, the silly little stories about the minor events that have happened in the kind of orc timeline going forward. Primarily, we were moving on from the Second War for Armageddon, so it's a lot of kind of scattered stories in the middle. And we ended off by talking about Wah Snagrod.
That name.
I realized after last time that actually there's a bit I should explain moving forward, because this is going to be one of the slightly bigger stories that we're going to go a bit more in depth with. So I explained last time this was a story of Snagrod, who was the ruler of this little orc empire, who went and attacked this planet called Bad Landing, and then put out a broadcast that he was going to go after a planet called Rin's World next, which happens to be the homeworld of the Crimson Fist chapter of Space Marines. So, as you can imagine, that leads into a pretty big battle. But there, from what I explained last time, which anyone who has listened to it or listens to it in close conjunction with this one will notice the differences, but there is there's two ways to look at this story. That's the problem here. And it's because the story has been kind of published twice, for lack of a better term. So there's a bit of, like, two storylines at the same time. You with me? So there's a bit of, like, extra detail and stuff I'd like to go into. Because the one I gave you last time, it was more of the kind of, it's more of the brief summary you would get from one of the codexes, right? But we want to really go into the kind of the level of detail that one of the novels might have, that kind of level. So, or somewhere closer to the novel level of detail on this. So I'm going to recover some of the early events just to give you a bit more information. So it'll build on top of last time a little bit. Should bring some knowledge back to you that you'd maybe forgotten in the time between our recording sessions.
Yeah.
So that's convenient. Before we get into it, I just want to show you something that I got today, which I think is really cool, and hopefully viewers might think is cool. This is primarily going to benefit the people who actually watch the videos of this, rather than just listen to audio one.
But hey, Ryan, they have visuals on both Spotify and YouTube.
They do, so they can see this lovely limited edition hardback version of Sandy Mitchell's For the Emperor. I forgot the name of the author there, as you may have noticed. But yeah, I got this today. So I've probably mentioned it to you in the past, but I collect the limited edition of a lot of the Warhammer 40k novels, and they always do them in these really fancy, like, hardback special covers, and they look really cool. There is a lot of them shown on my Instagram account. I've got an Instagram account specifically for showing off my novels.
Well, you do?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Why have you never told me about this, Ryan?
I think I've mentioned it in the past, but we don't really talk about Instagram very much, so it's never really came up.
I mean, we don't, but you should have told me that.
Oh, yeah, Ryan the Iterator on Instagram. What's this? I actually can't believe I've never mentioned that to you. I advertised this podcast on that.
I'm actually I'm disappointed.
Yeah. So this special edition of this book came out relatively recently. Just for your sake, maybe, as a friend of mine else's sake, I guess. It came out relatively recently, and I wasn't too bothered about it because it's aimed at a character called Caiaphas Kane, who is a commissar. And I was never really bothered about commissars as characters. Since they're just like political soldiers or political agents, they're like disciplinary and morale troops, right? And I was never really particularly interested, but over the last 3 weeks, I've listened to, I believe, nine of the Gaunt's Ghosts series. Listened to nine books in that series now, and they follow a commissar called Ibram Gaunt, and I've grown to really love this character, and I'm like, I need to branch out and read about some of the other commissars, and Caiaphas Kane is one of the other major ones that has a big storyline. So I'm like, you know what? It's about time I get that novel. So I got myself the fancy limited edition version of it.
Of course, as you do.
Yeah, I'm very excited to read it. Anyway, shall we get on with Wa Snagrod? Get back to our orky goodness.
We probably should, yeah.
Yeah, we probably should. People are going to be here like, I came for the orcs, damn it. Why are they talking about humans? I came for orcs. Okay, let's do this. So, last time, obviously, we did, like I said, we talked about this build up to the battle for Rin's world, Orcs versus Crimson Fists. And, like I said, I want to give you a bit of a, I guess, a little run over the battle on Bad Landing, the planet prior to Rin's world that built up to this. So, because I mentioned that, like, they sent a bunch of Crimson Fists, and very few of them came back. But I can expand on it a bit for you, and it's kind of entertaining, kind of interesting, and it also kind of sets the tone for how the Crimson Fist handled the situation with a gigantic wav of orcs turning up on their doorstep. Also, I believe I have an appropriate picture. There you go. There's a gigantic wav of orcs.
Don't want to be stuck in the middle of that, not gonna lie.
I think if you're in the middle of it, you just pick up the nearest weapon and start following the horde, just screaming. It's like, what are you? Woo! Yeah!
One of us.
I think you just join in and hope they don't notice you. They just think you're a really weird grot.
A very
But
handsome one.
saying that, you're jacked as anything. They probably think you're one of the orcs.
Thanks, Ryan. I appreciate it. They always look disgusting and weird in the faces, but hey, I'll fit right in, right?
You're bigger than half of them, it's fine. That means you're in charge. That's the rules. You could have your own wa.
Sure.
Amazed you didn't flex at any point during that. Usually you don't miss an opportunity.
That's because I'm too tired.
That's fair, yeah. It's been one of those weeks, man.
It really has.
Yeah. So, I'm gonna give you a bit of a run over here, but it's gonna be more relevant to the Crimson Fists side of things, to their perspective of this. So it's not overly relevant to the side we're looking at, but it's still interesting to note. So when the Space Marines first arrived on Bad Landing, they were there to like assess the Orc Horde for like size and, I guess how aggressive they were, how dangerous they actually were to the chapter. That was the idea. So, they realized that there were an ass load of orcs, and they were probably going to be, pretty well humped by them. So they're like, right, we need to try and, thin out the horde a bit, for lack of a better term. And the best way to do that was to cut them off from a water supply. Bad Landing does not have a lot of drinkable water. It needs to be processed and cleaned. And they decide to go and sabotage the water purification plants. There's one gigantic one near like the last settlement that was still going. So they're like, we'll go and sabotage that. That'll kill off some of the orcs by the time they get to us. Because much like humans, orcs need water to live. Interesting detail. So the Space Marines organized like a combined assault where one group would like attack the city's water purification center, and the other would assault like strategic assets, and aim for the leader, kind of hang, aim for Snagrod, right? Because like we've said, take out the leader and the rest of them kind of fall apart.
Yeah, cut the head off the snake and the body will, drop.
Yeah.
Essentially. Yeah.
So this was a great plan, right? But it failed because of one very young space marine. The whole
Okay.
plan fell apart, and so many, like, remember that, like, 84 marines went and like 26 came back, right? It's because one space marine, this really young guy, was an idiot.
Great.
So this one really young space marine had been put in like a marksman position. He was a sniper, right? He apparently had basically shown everyone that he was like showing a lot of promise. He seemed like he was going to be the next big thing, and he had been put into this marksman position. So there's a couple of them that are acting as snipers, and this kid spots who he assumes is Snagrod because the guy is like triple the size of any other orc, and he's built like a tank. Right, he's like bigger than a space marine in Terminator plate. He's like, this has to be the guy, surely, right? And he keeps asking for permission to take the shot and trying to blow his head off now. Because if he kills him, then you know what I mean. The Wa is no longer a threat, really. They can just mop them up. And he gets told repeatedly, "No, we have a plan." Because the plan that was in place was essentially that one group. Or the group going after the water purification plant would be like held in position. The other group would, you know, set off some fireworks kind of thing, make a lot of noise, drawing the whole orc horde to them, and then the water purification plant would be easy pickings, right? That was the idea. This kid would not listen and ended up taking the shot anyway. As you can imagine, a bolt rifle makes a lot of noise and alerts a lot of people to your position.
It's come to
So,
that.
yeah, so it totally threw the plan clean out the window because he tried to assassinate Snagrod, right? Because he wasn't willing to risk losing the opportunity to kill him this easily. But our boy Snagrod is not stupid, and he was wearing a shield belt. So the bolter shell didn't hit him, it just like a foot away from his face. So it just hit this like shield in front of him. The guy fired off a bunch of rounds. Every one of them hit like where they were supposed to, but they were just hitting this shield instead of hitting Snagrod. So all it did was alert all of the orcs that there were like insurgents in their territory, and it made them totally unable to attack either of the strategic assets they were aiming for.
God.
Yeah. So truly a moron. Truly an absolute moron. Yeah. So yeah, of the 84 Marines that were sent to this planet, in the ensuing battle and carnage that kicked off after that kid totally threw their plan out the window, only 28 made it back to Rin's world.
Damn.
Yeah, pretty bad survival rates there, I would say. Yeah. So as Wa Snagrod moves in towards Rin's world, they focused on targeting like communications relays to prevent any warning going forward. So it stopped Rin's world knowing when the orcs were gonna get there. So they were like, I think we've got like 10 days to prepare, but like we honestly don't really know how long it's gonna take these guys to get to us. Yeah, so Snagrod is not that. Like he is a smart orc. He has thought about this. He is strategic. He is cunning.
Any more adjectives to him?
He's green, big, friendly, maybe? I don't know.
Maybe smelly? I don't know.
Probably. So Snagrod obviously his whole Wa were doing pretty well at like taking out like space stations and like communication relays and stuff. Because what they would do is they would send in little like lightning assaults, little small attack forces to hit the enemy hard, and then it would like allow them to, you know, take out these communication relays really easily by basically just throwing a lot of firepower at them really quickly. So that they didn't have a chance to, like, you know, get off a warning or anything like that to anyone nearby. And this basically made it a cakewalk for them to start taking over planets nearby because no one knew they were coming.
that'll do the trick.
Yeah. This method of, like, attacking the communication systems and then going after the nearby planets led to Snagrod gradually controlling, like, a whole list of planets before he even arrived at Rin's world. Like, it was working well for him, man.
Yeah.
Just hit and run attack all the communication systems and then just walk in the front door. Like, they don't know you're coming. They can't fucking defend themselves very well.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. And to, like, add to their, like, surprise tactics, Snagrod ignored all usual rules for warp jumps. So what you usually should do is you drop out of the warp really far away from where you're trying to get to, right? Usually it's like 40 to 50 hours travel, like normal space travel, away from where you're trying to get to, right? But Snagrod didn't do that. Snagrod would have his ships drop out of the warp like 3 hours away. And the reason it's done like this is because the warp is kind of a bitch and you don't know if it's going to spit you out in the right spot. So you give yourself like a lot of leeway, because otherwise you can come out of the warp in the gravity well of a planet or a star or a black hole or, you know, inside an asteroid or like inside another ship, shit like that, right? So you come out really far away from your target, or try to come out really far away from your target, so that even if you do, like, overshoot it, you're still not hitting the planet or whatever. Snagrod didn't give a shit about that. His whole fleet would just drop out of the warp 3 feet from the planet and be like, we're your problem now, bitch! Which also made it really, really difficult for anyone to be prepared for him. Oh. So he did this with Rin's world, right? They knew orcs were coming, because obviously they'd sent their space marines ahead and they came back and told them everything was fucked. And by, like, checking their communications and everything like that, they managed to judge that they had, like, 10 days to figure out a defensive. And then Wah Snagrod's fleet popped up out of nowhere, like, 3 hours away from Rin's world, like, 4 days in to, like, the 10 days they thought they had. So the planet is, like, totally unprepared. And, like, they couldn't be prepared anyway, but, like, totally unprepared.
Even more unprepared.
Somehow they were, like, it wasn't even, like, a zero on preparedness. It was, like, a negative 10, right?
Guys, it's not even funny. It's not even such a joke.
So the war kind of begins, for lack of... I know, yeah, that's the right term. So the war begins with the orc fleet meeting the Imperial blockade above the planet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, they didn't have a lot of time to prepare, but the first thing you do when you know a giant horde of orc spaceships is coming at you is get all your spaceships lined up and ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Orc fleet meets the Imperial fleet over the planet. And the Orc fleet massively outnumbers the Imperial fleet. And in a couple of situations, they also massively outsize the Imperial fleet. Like, the Snagrod's flagship is much larger than the biggest Imperial ship there. So they don't have much of a chance. Snagrod's kind of got this one. So pretty quickly some of the Imperial ships start to fall as the void batteries start firing off and, you know, torpedoes start getting launched and stuff like that. Interestingly, it was going so badly for the Imperials that they started doing some pretty, like, I guess martyrdom type strategies, where, like, there was one Imperial ship that was, like, bleeding fire and stuff out of its flanks from damage that knew it was about to explode. So all it did was, like, turn about, aim directly towards the side of one of the orc, like, big ships, fire its engines on full, and just ram it in its death throes so it exploded when it hit it and blew a big chunk out of it. Just so that they could kill some orcs in the process. Like,
that's crazy.
Yeah. That's kind of how desperate they were. That seemed like a good idea. I mean, they were going to die anyway. They may as well kill some orcs in the process, but, like, still, it seems a bit severe. Like, you had escape pods. You could have tried to just bail out. But no, they were like, full ahead, ram.
I'd have done the same.
So would I. It'd be much funnier. It'd be cooler to see than it would be part of, though.
Yeah, 100%. I'll see from afar. It's fine. Yeah. From a safe distance.
I don't think there is a safe distance when that's going on, to be honest with you. But Emperor's Throne Room, only safe place.
If you say so.
Even that's questionable, but we'll get to that later. That's a storyline for another day. I'd like to tell you that that it was like a slowly but surely kind of thing, but actually it was really quite fast. The Imperial fleet kind of just fell apart one by one under the ridiculous hail of gunfire from the orc ships. They were just massively outnumbered. They just did not have a chance in the first place.
Yeah.
It sounds kind of rough.
It's pretty rough, but we're on the side of the orcs, so like, fuck the humans.
I mean, I guess.
So, obviously, now that the kind of Imperial fleet is decimated, orcs start going down to land on the planet. So you just get these, like, tons of these lander ships coming down all over the planet. And this is where I'm gonna swap to this map of Rin's world here. Right? So this is the different... This is the continents of the planet. But there's one that we're focusing on, because the other two are losers. There's Sirocco. So just to check. Yeah, it's the one on the right there. Right. So the important things to note here are New Rin City, away over in the west, which is I guess the densest population center on the planet. It has like 8% of the planet's whole human population in that one city. And the other thing to know about is up here in the mountains on the east is Arx Tyrannus, which is the Crimson Fist's like fortress monastery. That's their base. So these are the two biggest points of resistance from the Orc Horde. Cool.
Yes.
So, Orc fleet begins to like drop orcs onto the ground, and they start flooding everything and burning everything to the ground and ransacking everything and murdering everything. Pretty standard orc stuff. Obviously, cities came under attack. The populace were, you know, murdered or they ran away. And we also saw a lot of orc psychers, orc shamans, weird boys, whatever word you want to use for them, started putting out these like devastating psychic assaults across the planet. So it was like, we're attacking in every way possible here. You've got psychic attacks, you've got hordes of orcs charging through the streets, you've got orcs on like junk bikes driving around harassing people out in the wilderness and stuff like that. You've got I'm going to show you a picture here of an orc plane. You've got scrap jet or junk jets, as they're called, flying around bombing stuff. Like, all hell broke loose on this planet in the space of about 6 minutes.
It's definitely like kind of, it reminds me of like some Mad Max shit right there.
That's basically what it was. This planet went from like a perfectly dignified world to full on Mad Max in the middle of it. Just overnight. Over the course of like an hour, it was just hell broke loose all over this planet. Just little green bastards going around everywhere, fucking everything up. So, there is an airbase called Scar Lake. I think it is marked on this map. But this airbase also came under attack pretty early on. And this was one of the kind of, I guess, like a major asset to the resistance, because it was their only way of putting up like planes to fight off the orc planes or to provide air support. So like, you can't bomb any of the orc hordes or anything like that to like cut their numbers down massively if the airbase is under attack and they can't send any planes out. So this came under attack pretty early on as well. And it knocked in the attack, their communications were knocked out. So this airbase held the like main relay station for the communication network on this planet. So once this base got attacked, the city couldn't communicate with the airbase or Arx Tyrannus and, you know, all around. So all of a sudden, no one knew what the fuck was going on anymore. So the Space Marines still in Arx Tyrannus didn't know how New Rin City was faring, and vice versa.
Hmm.
Right? So Snagra's still doing his usual strategy of cutting off communications to give him a massive advantage tactically, which is good. We like it. It's a good strategy. And through all of this, the orcs have also been bombarding the planet from space using their ships. They've just been firing down missiles and stuff. And an important part of this is that Arx Tyrannus has a shield system set up around it. And while the bombardment is going on, they can't drop their shields, right? Or they risk the monastery being destroyed and Space Marines being killed unnecessarily. So yeah. They are basically waiting for the shields to be able to drop so that they can fire their own missiles to try and take out some of the ships in orbit. Now, this is a great plan. And when the Orc bombardment finally ends and, you know, they just stop firing missiles at the planet so that they can focus on getting troops on the ground, the Crimson Fists drop the shields around their monastery, set up their giant missile silos, and fire off a bunch of these ancient-ass missiles to go and blow up some ships in orbit. Right? If you can take out the ship while it's still in orbit, all the orcs on it die, none of them make it to the ground. Good strategy.
Makes sense.
What they didn't really think about was the fact that one of their missile batteries had been playing up a little bit, but their tech marine has, like, rechecked it, and it's all working fine now. It's passing all the tests, right? So they're like, ah, that's fine, use it, right? Like, they wouldn't fire it if they thought something was going to go wrong. That was a bad idea. I don't know about you. If I was in control of, like, some kind of giant missile silo and it failed the test the first time, I'd probably want to do some maintenance before I hit the fire button. But these guys were like, ah, passed the test the second time. That means it's all right, right? Like, 50-50 shot, that means it's cool. Yeah, great idea. That's not going to bite them in the ass or anything. So they fired off this big, like, barrage, salvo, whatever word you want to use for a horde of rockets, up at the Orc fleet. And one of the missiles failed. Weirdly, it was the one from that one missile silo that was acting up and failed the test the first time. Don't know how that could possibly happen. It had a literally 50% track record of failing, so...
I like those us.
Yeah. They were like, ah, fuck it, it's worth a go. But this missile, mid-flight, just kind of started to, like, corkscrew. It was like it's... I was going to say traction control, that's not the word. It was like it kind of lost the ability to keep itself centered, and it started to, like, spin, and ended up curving back and hitting Arx Tyrannus. These are ship killer missiles, though. So they're kind of like a bunker buster, which is, like, it's designed to burrow into something before detonating. Right? Yeah. The idea being it doesn't, like, hit a ship in space and then, like, detonate or try to detonate outside of the ship.
Inside of it. It's inside of it. And then...
It wants to get, like, halfway through, then detonate inside and just wipe the place in half. Right? Now, that's a great idea, except for when it hits your base, because this missile burrowed into the ground and then exploded. And as much as Arx Tyrannus is built in the mountains and blowing chunks out of, like, the base layer of mountains typically causes a lot of, like, rock slides and stuff and avalanches and shit. The other thing is that under the Fortress Monastery, there is a giant dugout vault full of all their excess ammunition, and it set off the entire ammo reserve and wiped Arx Tyrannus clean off of the map.
Damn.
It was just a pile of rubble.
That must be some kind of firework, you know?
Yeah, aye. The Space Marines at, like, New Rin City just saw a little, like, flash from the mountains. So, what was that? Is that some kind of flare? So that was not a great place to start the war. So news went out to the chapter gradually that their fortress monastery was reduced to rubble, and interestingly, a couple other important details. All of the Astartes within it were thought dead because the monastery was literally gone. And all of the librarians, the Psyker Space Marines that were there, died. Every one of them died. Now,
Nice.
yeah, the only thing that's really still an issue for the orcs is that a chunk of the Space Marines had been sent to guard New Rin City. So there is a bunch of them that are still alive that just weren't at the base at the time. But the vast majority of them were murdered in that explosion. Nothing to do with the orcs, but they'll take credit for it, I guess. They'll pretend that they had some kind of hand in that, but it was actually just a really lax tech marine. So interesting thing, when like 700 space marines are all incinerated at the exact same time, and a bunch of them are psykers, it has some negative effects. And one of them in this case was that kind of like a psychic, I guess psychic death throw went out across the planet, and all of the librarians that were in New Rin City felt it, fell to their knees screaming in pain, and almost died. The only reason they didn't die from feeling the pain of like 700 space marines being incinerated at the exact same time through the warp, is the fact that the orcs had been doing these stupid psychic assaults the entire time and had basically like created these little pockets of like dissonance that weakened the like psychic aftershock of all the Space Marines dying. So the orcs accidentally saved the remaining librarians that were in the city. Yeah. Although the fun thing is that a bunch of the orc shamans died too from feeling like that death wave, so that's fun.
No,
Yeah.
that's good.
So I think that this might be a good point to leave off for today. I will actually throw out like one last bit to like entice you for next time, which is like 16 Space Marines survived the detonation at Arx Tyrannus. They were all the ones that, or they were a handful of the ones that had been on the battlements at the time, because when the blast went off, they just got launched clear out of the place. Rather than being like caught in the blast or in the rubble or anything, they just got like bounced clean out of the joint and just lay in the snow, pretty fucked up. So 16 managed to survive up in the mountains and gradually start working their way back towards the rest of their dudes. The main issue for the orcs is that one of the ones that survived was Chapter Master Pedro Cantor. And I actually have a picture of this guy because he's cool as shit. It's a pretty cool dude. Yeah. So, I think that's a good place to leave off for today. And next time we'll get into this war properly. And we'll try and keep a wee bit of track on this guy because he looks dangerous.
Sure does. Well, do you want me to round it out?
Yeah, go for it.
Well, then, thank you guys for listening to this episode of Iterators of the Imperium podcast. It's been me, Miss, and Ryan, and we will see you next time. Take care and peace.
Bye.